Brookville Public Library Trustees Meeting, April 8th. Can I get a roll call, please?
Yes. Schumacher?
Here.
Hedman?
Here.
Bessola?
Here.
Milshewski?
Here.
Gatz?
Here.
Forrestal?
Here.
Garcia?
Yes.
Millen?
Here.
And Reichstech?
Here.
Thank you.
Recognition of our visitors. Do we have any visitors? We have our friends of the library, and we have a community member.
Three
community members.
The birds.
At this time, we have a new board member, so we're going to do our oath of office for our new board member, Wendy Gates.
I do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Illinois, and that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the office of the Yorkville Public Library Trustee according to the best of my ability.
Thank you. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Any amendments to the agenda? Okay. And we're going to begin with our presentations from our environmental scan and soil analysis from our strategic planning consultant, Amanda Standifer. Hi, Amanda. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How is everybody there?
Good.
Okay, good. Can you guys all hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Shelley, I didn't know if you wanted to say anything before I got started.
No, that's okay. You can just dive right in. I've kind of let them know what to expect.
Great. Well, I'm excited to be with all of you this evening. Again, my name is Amanda Standifer, and I'm a consultant with Fast Forward Libraries. We're based in Champaign, Illinois. We specialize in helping libraries with strategic planning. And tonight, we're kicking off our strategic planning process with you, the board, but we have already been doing quite a bit in our process. I'll tell you more about that in a moment. And besides doing just a little bit of an orientation about our process, we're also going to have two brief discussions, our environmental scan and our SOAR analysis, so I'll tell you more about that when we get to that. I'm curious if everyone can see my screen. I don't know if I'm projected. I just see one person, but I don't know if you all can see me.
Not yet. We can see you, but we cannot see your screen.
Okay, well, let me share my screen. Oh, it's disabled. I don't know if we can change that.
I can do that, yep.
Awesome, thank you. I know that you got a handout. I was just going to show it on my screen to have you follow along.
You should be able to share now.
Awesome, here we go. So you should have something like this that I'm going to use, again, to give you the orientation to our strategic planning process. We'll start in the top left-hand side. So why are we engaging in a strategic planning process? I think that having a strong strategic plan is one of the most important things that you can do as a library. For you as members of the board, having a plan is your roadmap. It helps you make decisions about resource allocation. It helps you make sure that the library is moving in the right direction, helps you communicate with the community about your plans for the future. For your staff, they want to know, like, what are things we're going to be working on? They have lots of great ideas that we want to see, like, how does that have impact in the community? And by having a plan, you can articulate that, and they can share with the community. And, of course, your community wants to know, how are you going to be spending your time and resources in the future? And your plan is the document that articulates that. On the bottom left is a graphic called the Golden Circle Framework. This is from Simon Sinek's book, Start With Why. And I really like this book because I think it's important in the strategic planning process to articulate why the library is important to the community. And when I saw this bullseye graphic, I thought, oh, this is a great way to show how the different elements of a plan fit together. And starting with the golden why in the middle, in our strategic plan, that's our vision and mission statement. So our vision being, what are we trying to achieve in our community? And our mission being, here's how we carry out our work in order to And then everything flows out from that golden circle. So the next circle out, so how are we going to do that? Those are strategic directions or priorities along with specific goals within those priorities that you're working towards. And then further out from that, so what does that mean we do on a daily basis in order to achieve those goals or at least make progress towards them? Those are our activities and our evaluation, so all the data that we gather in order to show the progress that we're making. And you can kind of see here on the right-hand side of the graphic, the board is responsible for setting the vision and mission. That's the most important thing that the board does during this process. And we'll get to that a little bit later on. I'll talk about that in a minute. But then there's overlap with the staff on developing those strategic directions and goals. So again, figuring out what are those priorities, where can we have impact. And then the staff is really the group that focuses on, okay, so if these are the goals, what are the things that we do on a daily basis to work towards those? And how do we show success? So that what's the data that we gather to show our progress? So this is just meant to be kind of a visual representation of the different pieces of the plan that we'll be developing as we work together. And we'll come back to this so you can kind of see how everything fits. So in order to get to this, in order to build these elements of the plan, I want to tell you about our timeline, which is on the right-hand side of your handout or on the screen here. You can see that our process is broken down into three different phases. We're currently in the learn phase. So we kicked off back in February, actually. We've got a group of planning team members, staff, and board members who are helping kind of steer this process, make sure it stays on track. And since then, we've been doing a couple of different things. One is, the biggest thing we've been doing is working on our getting feedback in our community survey. Just closed last week, we had 240 responses to the survey, which was really great. I know we always want more, but that's a really great response rate, and we're already putting that data together and doing analysis. Tomorrow, my colleague Cindy Fessmeyer will be there in Yorkville doing focus groups and interviews. We like to do both these things because the survey gets a very broad kind of community supporters, people who are connected with the library. The focus groups and interviews focus in more on stakeholders, people maybe you're not as connected to. So she's already done a bunch of interviews, but we'll be there tomorrow to do those focus groups, and I'm excited to hear that feedback. I met with staff a couple of weeks ago. They did the same thing that you're doing tonight, kind of orientation and some initial discussions. Tomorrow morning, everyone, trustees and staff members, will get a follow-up survey. And the point here is that we have these initial discussions, but then you have an opportunity through the survey to give a little bit more deeper feedback just on an individual basis. So please look out for that email in your inbox, or please check your spam if it doesn't come through. It will come from my email address, but it will say via SurveyMonkey. It's a SurveyMonkey survey. If you don't fill it out, you will get reminders to fill it out. You've got a couple of weeks to fill it out. It is an anonymous survey, and we will share the responses as part of a report in summary format. So look for that opportunity tomorrow. And we're also doing things like looking at library trends, looking at sector trends, looking at community demographics. And so all of this data gathering that I just described will go into what we call a learning report. We'll have that ready in early May, so about a month from now. And then we move into the dream phase. And here's where we take all this data and we make meaning from it. So we add our lived experience, our expertise with the library, the advocacy we've given to the library, and we do that during retreat sessions. So the planning team will get together again to kind of look over the data and get ready for the retreats. And then we've got our retreat schedules, sessions scheduled on May 31st and June 1st. I know that seems like a little ways away, but it'll be here before we know it. And really the format to these meetings is to look at the data, talk about what it means to us, and then start to build the elements of the plan together. So these are very high energy sessions. We don't sit there and wordsmith things or write goal statements, but rather we have just really great conversations about the future of the library and like what we're excited about, opportunities, and start to make some choices, start to narrow down where we really think we can have the impact. After those retreats, we have another planning team debrief meeting. We don't have that one scheduled yet, but it will be probably in early July to look at an outline of the plan. And then this outline takes us into the last phase of the process, which we call the due phase. This is when we actually start to develop the plan documents. We'll present those back to you for your feedback and approval. And then we'll move into implementation, which is the last step and will happen probably around September, August or September. This is where we transition from planning to the doing. So what are all of those activities and measures of success? that will help us achieve our goals, and then how do we report on that success as well. So I just threw all that orientation at you, and I'm curious if you've got any questions about any of these pieces.
No questions.
No questions. Okay, great. So we're going to move into the discussion portion of our time together tonight. And it's on the second page or the flip side of your handout there. And that's just for you to take some notes. I'm actually going to be taking notes on my other screen here. So if you see me looking off to the side, it's because I'm taking notes. And we want to do two discussions. First, we want to engage in an environmental scan. And the flip here is to look broadly about the world outside of the library. So we're not talking about the library specifically. We're thinking about what are all those things happening in the world around us that influence the library as we're planning for the future. And we've got the six different categories there that we'll go through. I know it's not always clear like what fits in what category. That doesn't matter. Some things fit in multiple categories, obviously. But just, you know, kind of get a sense of what's on your mind, you know, thinking of those outside influences. And then we'll narrow in and do what we call a SOAR analysis. And so that's looking at strengths, opportunities, aspirations, and results, specifically about the library. And the point of this discussion is to just, again, get kind of some initial thoughts about what you're excited about, what opportunities are out there, how does this potentially impact the community and what you're working towards at, on a bigger picture. And then what's the results? Like, how do people feel about themselves, about the community, if you were to move forward with some of the things that we talk about. So we're going to go through this kind of step by step, and we'll start with our environmental scan. Again, we're not talking about the library. We're talking about context, what is going on in our country, in our community, in our world, that we need to keep in mind as we're planning for the future of the library. And we'll start with, you know, the fun one, political. So when you think about what's happening in our world, in our country, our community, and the political situation, what are some of the things that come to mind?
Polarized.
Polarized. Yeah, that is a good
That's a good
point.
Word, yep.
Polarized.
Anything else?
It's changed.
Changed.
Mm. How about economic? When you think about, you know, how people are doing economically in your community or in the state, what are some of the things that you think about?
Inflation.
Hardship.
That's not
yep. Economic yeah. Hardship.
Yeah.
Some different. Yeah, definitely.
Definitely
state.
Inflation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else?
Fiscal responsibility.
Yes.
Would be defined to be important.
I've got the staff notes here on the same screen, and they talked about, you know, there's a growing business community in Yorkville, which is cool that they talked about that. They talked about inflation also in terms of like increased costs of things, food insecurity. They talked about just the state of the economy and you know how that has kind of changed as well. Mm-hmm. Talked about taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Taxes.
Yeah. Anybody else have anything to add?
As a community as well, we are growing.
Growing.
We have a lot of
there's
gonna be quite a bit of growth actually.
There is
in the near future. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Cool. How about social? When you think about just kind of what's going on with people, are there things that come to mind?
Polarized.
Yeah, it certainly
same
overlaps
thing.
With that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Different.
Different.
Relationships are different.
Very much so, yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to see more community, like an acronym that you can have, differences you can have.
Yes.
all those things, yet you still have a strong community and respect and, I don't know, some of those things socially speaking. Mm-hmm. I find it important, but...
Okay.
A lot of hiding behind social media.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yes.
Communication goes a lot faster and a lot wider.
It certainly does.
There's no more real relationships.
Yes.
Face to face.
Right.
Yeah.
And I like what you said. Everything is done behind social media. There's no unique relationships. I don't see. Even in the neighborhoods. Unique relationships.
Interesting. Yeah, staff talked about that a little bit. They talked about people being isolated. They talked about kind of how just socialization is different because of COVID and other factors too. That came up.
Different because of COVID, because we went in and then it's...
Yeah.
I think that did change it a lot because with crowds.
Yeah, social media too has changed that a lot for our younger generation, which I think is important for us as we project into the future for the library.
Yeah. And technology has also influenced social.
Very much.
Yeah.
Like you say, you know, the playground used to be filled with kids. Now the playground is on technology.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, technology's next. Anything else on social before we move to technology?
Okay.
I think geographically where we're at, we get a mix of a lot of older families that have been in the area a long time and are probably more rural, and then also a lot of younger families that are newer to the area.
For sure.
Because of that growth.
Changing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we're growing tremendously as a community. We have a lot of new housing and a lot of young families coming in. And
I'm going to put that under economic, the increase in housing.
Yeah, we have,
the last couple of years.
Right, I would say.
But I agree, you said we have a lot of young families. I think that's it too when we're talking demographics.
Right.
It is something we have to consider. I know that even on social media you see these people who are begging for relationships.
Yeah.
They don't know anybody in the community.
Right.
Yeah.
Need friendship and things to do. So I think that that's something that
that's
we have to look at as well.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's talk about technology then. I think there's overlap there with the technology kind of taking over for like face-to-face relationships. Are there other things when you think about trends in technology or how technology has changed just the way we do things in our lives?
Everything
is that.
Yeah.
Everything is done through technology.
Right? So it's so important to have that digital literacy, right?
For sure.
Well, and how is AI going to affect everything?
Yes.
Ah, yes.
Very
That's
good.
So interesting because I thought for sure the staff would talk about AI and no one mentioned it. And I was like, wow, that's the first thing on my mind. So thank you for bringing it up.
100%. It's actually within the business world, too. AI, we've just received from our vendors, we have our own company and a couple companies, and we've received legal contracts that we have to sign specifically to, AI and potentially their proprietary, whatever they have, whatever that might be for them. But so definitely changing the landscape.
Yes.
For
business.
Okay.
For sure.
The other thing is apps as well. I noticed that a lot of companies, is changing as far as your services.
Right.
Everything is going towards apps.
It's true. And then you gotta have a password for everything, right?
Yes.
Sure
do. All right, anything else on technology?
Well, you're finding in the schools too. There are a lot of books that people want access to online.
Yes.
which means that we have less kind of, I guess, people going into the libraries. At least I see it at the collegiate level. Students don't even want to go into a library.
Yeah.
Why would I want a book? so, I don't know. We see it in our schools too.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the students, all the books are digital.
Right.
E-books.
Audiobooks,
Audio too, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, the staff also talked about, kind of related to that, how technology is a workforce development issue, that just to be able to apply for jobs or be relevant, you have to have a certain level of technology skills. So that kind of goes along with what kids are learning in school too.
Right.
goes along with AI as well, because a lot of jobs are requiring, they're looking for individuals that have that capacity to use AI.
That's true.
Creativity.
All right, how about legal? When you think of legal issues that are out there that, like we need to be thinking about, does anything come to mind for you?
As a library, are we meeting all the requirements that we're supposed to meet
policies
as an institution?
And
yes.
And that covers a lot, right?
Yes.
It covers HR law, it covers
ADA.
A governmental entity. Yep.
We've had a lot of revisions.
Yeah. The staff also mentioned things like privacy, First Amendment, free speech stuff. That was on their mind. Mm-hmm. Anything else in legal? All right, how about the library sector? And what I mean here is, like, what's going on more broadly with libraries? Maybe a different library you visited, or maybe you've read an article. Or just, you know things that are happening in libraries. Anything come to mind there?
I see that some libraries are becoming like hubs.
Yes.
Yeah.
For businesses and business, I think it's the Royal Library, I see have something of that nature, where they become like a hub.
Right.
For small businesses or for community businesses to do.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of a trend. Anything else?
What about, I've noticed that there's more libraries that are offering, lounges and places where people can come in for coffee and create more of a community space.
Like a Starbucks in a library.
Yes.
Yes.
Create your own revenue stream.
Yeah.
Because economically, we can't afford it as taxpayers.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, it is interesting, too. My daughter, who's 16, a junior in high school, and she doesn't think about coming to the library, but she goes to Starbucks just there to do her work. To do homework and things like that.
Yes.
To study, which, I find
so the environment.
Obvious,
so the actual environment of the library.
Yeah.
Being a hub again for a business,
right?
For social.
Yes.
Yeah, having Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And that also crosses over, I think, with economic, like people working from home more.
For sure.
And then it crosses over with social, like thinking about, place for like teens to be after school.
Yeah.
The staff talked about that too.
Yeah. Which I think
we're starting to narrow into our library, your library. Is there anything else in any of these categories that you want to make sure we kind of take note of? And I'm also looking through the notes to see what else the staff talked about that you might want to know. Oh, book bans is a thing that kind of crosses several of these categories.
Yes.
That came up, again, kind of broadly.
The right to read.
Anybody?
I don't know where would this fit in, but I just heard on the radio about legislation in a lot of states to protect the librarians, like a politician is protected.
Yeah.
There's a lot of...
I did see that.
Yeah, they're trying to... I don't know where they would fall under, but that might be something.
Legal.
Legal.
Yeah, legal.
Legal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got that down. Yes, that is something that's on the minds of some folks, for sure. Okay. Anything else in our environmental scan? Well, the staff talked a little bit about digital divide and just, you mentioned like digital everything. People rely on the library to, get them access to digital stuff. But, the digital divide is still real, and especially because you still have some rural areas in your surrounding area. So people do come to the library for support.
Something that came up with my son, he's very into ancestry. Mm-hmm. He doesn't live in this area anymore, so he's been going to a library in Riverside, actually, and he was talking about how the records that they have on file.
Oh, yeah.
And the accessibility, and he grew up here, and we have some, but that needs some work.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah.
It's actually a great segue
to our SOAR analysis. I'm sorry, did I miss something else there?
No.
Okay. All right, so let's segue to the SOAR analysis. And again, here we're now narrowing specifically to your library. And we want to start with strengths. So when you think about your library, and you think about what are we good at? Like, what do we really offer the community that's really vital, that makes our community vibrant? What are some of the things that come to mind?
Children's programs that we offer. Family, children, adult, teen, seniors.
Okay, I'm going to put seniors under opportunities. That's good to know. All right, what else are you good at?
What else are we good at? I would say programming.
So programming.
On the note of programming, did you just say they're in, for seniors?
Seniors and for teens.
Yeah, it'd be nice to get us in the middle.
Yes, for both.
Right, for both.
Oh, for both, like the between
well,
the...
Well, like if I want to join a book club here, the kids are during the day.
Right.
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So... The working people.
If I was a senior, it'd be lots of us.
Okay.
So working in between the teen and the seniors.
Yeah, and we do the kids and the teens.
Yes, because the kids we're very, very great on the kids, which our library children's director just won an award.
Right.
And so we're very good at that, but then our programming, I think, needs to increase for our teens as well as our
kids. We're not as diverse.
Yes.
Okay.
Community outreach.
I got those under opportunities.
Community outreach as far as bringing our marketing.
That has increased. Yeah, but that has increased in the last year or so. So that's a good strength, our marketing.
Okay.
Yes. So we we have a part-time marketing individual that's really helped us to connect to the community as a whole, I would say.
In various aspects.
I think in general our staff is a strength.
Oh,
I mean, we always hear how friendly and courteous everybody is.
Yes.
So I think the community, both our staff and the community perception of our staff is very positive.
Yeah.
So would you say that like translates to like a positive reputation in the community?
Yeah,
yes.
For sure.
Okay.
Like, I know for sure if Ms. Jeanette goes out these doors, everybody knows Ms. Jeanette.
Yes.
That's awesome. All right.
And I would say, too, our customer service as a whole.
Yes.
I mean, the library as a whole really bends over backwards for, you know, people bring inquiries or things that, you know, we might be lacking or something that they would love to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know that as a library... We explore all suggestions and things like that, which I think is great.
Yes.
I appreciate you all saying this because staff did recognize that they felt like they did a good job, but they didn't want to brag about themselves too much. So I appreciate you bragging about them.
I would say our facility.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Not the mechanicals of our facility.
Okay.
We've made strides over the mechanicals of this building.
The beauty of our building.
Are there specific things about your facility that you really like?
Yes.
It's clean and it's...
Oh, it is.
It shows well.
It shows
well. It's a good space.
Oh, for sure.
I feel like...
Yeah.
Probably can have more space that we can utilize, but, you know...
I think we have an abundance of space.
Yeah.
Abundance of space.
We have room to grow.
Yes.
We're using the space, but I can see like a space planner making more use of the space.
Right, Michelle, you were talking about that.
Yes.
Utilizing the space maybe in a more efficient and effective manner.
That's true.
Especially
that with all the different trends, creating different types of
with
space.
With relevancy, too. Mm-hmm.
So you can be flexible with your space.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Any others?
Cool.
Okay.
Any other strengths?
Location to the schools.
Oh, absolutely. That's huge.
This is kind of basic, but somewhat covered. But two things I notice are, I mean, I work in libraries a lot because it's a nice, quiet place. So this isn't the only one I work out of. But the staff is generally welcoming. Oh. Maybe they know who I am, maybe they don't.
Yes.
But they're always pretty nice.
Yeah.
They're not shushing you. I mean, I try to be quiet. But, I mean, I think we all remember the shh.
Yes.
You know,
right.
Yes.
And I don't feel that here. It's a welcoming space.
Yes.
That means a lot. And if you need to find a book, mm-hmm. someone will help you.
Always.
I know that seems basic, but it's
mm-hmm. it's good.
You'd be surprised
going to
other places. So.
Sure. I hear you. I've been in a lot of libraries, and sometimes I'm acknowledged, and sometimes
you're
I'm ignored. So I know what you mean. All right. Any other strengths before we move to opportunities? I'm looking back at what staff said. They talked a lot about the different programs. That was something that they were very proud of. All right. How about opportunities? I wrote down seniors and teens as two group audiences that you might be able to do more for. Are there other opportunities you think we should be exploring through this process?
Well, that goes to what I said, the middle, in between
right,
the
in
kids
between.
And the seniors.
Yes.
What about us in the middle?
Adult program.
Adult
program.
Yeah. All right.
Maybe more toward working adults.
Yeah, working adults.
Yes.
Yeah.
I did
That's
write that
it.
Down. Working
okay.
work, program for working people. Yep, got it.
Also, with that, as far as, Ryan, what you were saying pertaining to the use of the space, and I can't remember, Shelly, what you called that specifically.
Space planning.
Environment.
Space planning.
Like a workspace.
A workspace.
I don't know what that term is in library.
Yeah.
Workspace utilization plan.
Workspace utilization plan, yes.
I mean, to me, I think the one disadvantage to libraries, and maybe I don't use them correctly, is that if you're, say you're working on something with one or two other people.
Yes.
Sometimes there's not an office to go to, or the office is too far, or you don't want to be at the office. It's distracting. Libraries can be good spaces, but you have to be quiet, and it can be a challenge. But as things change, you know, and people are moving out to Yorkville, so that means a lot of them are hybrid workers.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard. You know, you're not going to have people over to your house to do work. That'd
so
be kind of weird.
Meeting rooms or
right.
I think the two study rooms we have are
working
great.
Space.
Yeah. Workspace.
I work from home.
Yeah.
And like today, I came to work at the library because they were doing some internet in my subdivision.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we only have a couple study rooms.
Yeah.
So if we have a lot of people that come in here last resource because their internet's not working at home. But if we have more working space,
sure.
invites.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like
well,
that's what, like a designated area, that's where we come to the utilization, the find out how we can use our space more efficiently to meet the needs of our patrons.
And advertising of that option or availability, too.
Mm-hmm. Even if it was limited. I mean, I know this room is hard because it's hard
programming.
To
mm-hmm.
monitor, but you don't need sometimes a dead quiet space.
Sure.
But if you go to Panera, they blare that music. You can't work in there. So that's
some people do.
I mean, I do, but if you're on a call, it's awkward.
Right.
And you can't sit there without like buying something, a sandwich or a cookie or something.
Yeah. That's true too.
All right.
We need to address our space.
Yes. So that's a great opportunity to think more about.
I was thinking about marketing and educating our community of all the services that are available through the library.
We have so much.
Yeah.
So much. I was so impressed with when I did my tour, when I first became trustee, of what we have that I had no idea that was offered.
Yeah.
I'm extremely impressed.
Wow.
So kind of helping people have an updated perception of everything that's available.
Okay. So helping the community know our services, is what you said?
Yeah.
Services.
Okay.
I think there's opportunities around our hours of operation. I know we've heard for some time that it'd be nice if we were open later or longer.
Yeah.
Yes. To get your adult program, you have to be open when adults have time.
After 5 years.
That makes me think about money, because of course it costs money to open the library longer. So is there an opportunity around funding, whether that's fundraising or grant writing or tax money? What's your thoughts about opportunities there?
You have to find it.
Definitely.
I would say grant writing.
The grant writing.
Yeah, I think that's the only
thing
that we've got. Yeah. We've got needs with our school district, and I'm sure that we'll be at a referendum here at some point soon. So trying to squeeze more money out of taxpayers when they're trying to put food on the table, a roof over their head, clothes on their children, and put gas in the cars.
Yes.
There's no way that they're going to say, let's put more money into the library.
Right.
Absolutely not. That's why I think it makes sense to turn, why don't you turn this into a Starbucks type of thing or a Barnes & Noble, but you get to check out books instead of having to purchase books, right?
Yeah.
Now, I know that takes money, too, but I'm just saying
we
have to find a way to generate our own income instead of just asking people to hand money over.
Right.
Schools already do that, and it is a burden.
Right. Grant writing.
There's other opportunities as well, though, within our community to do fundraisers and different opportunities with the businesses in town to create some excitement with the library and partnerships with the library.
Fundraisers.
There was some sort of, I don't remember the specific name of it, but almost like marketing materials for the library.
Oh, the media kits.
Media kits.
Yes, that's something that we're still we're working on that.
But. Yes, that we could distribute to the businesses and things like that.
Okay. Yeah.
Awesome. Did you get all that?
I did.
Okay.
Yes, just going back to your Starbucks, it is not a bad idea. And actually, we see very often how we have these small coffee shops that they open and then they close, right? And giving the opportunity to a small business. Like, coffee shops are very popular. The coffee shop opens and you see everybody.
Yes.
Adults, teenagers. So give the opportunity to a small business who actually establish themselves is...
We have those here.
Well, we are right across the street and next door to the schools where these kids have coffee and sneaky snacks all day long. They have open campus.
That's right.
I mean, it's right here for you. It does a job for you.
So create a space.
It keeps them across
the space.
So I'm saying, so I'm hearing that creating some type of space, not the entire library, but a space space for a lounging area to, because I've seen it at the Aurora Library.
Yeah.
I've seen it at other libraries where they have like a designated space for people to come in. So maybe that's an opportunity for us, being that the school is right there.
Yeah, logistically speaking, our high school is directly
across
the are right here.
Yes,
it's basically a one campus, if you will. So you're right, and they have open campus. So
I will tell you that the school district is telling them not to come to the library.
We had issues last year.
So that would have to be discussed with the school.
Well, perhaps it could be the people that have open or have the ability to leave. They have to have a certain GPA. They have to have a certain
something. But before we even go that route, we have to see if we have the space to create.
Right. This is a futurist.
Right.
But if you think
so
about
it, sounds like there's a little bit in there about an opportunity with a relationship with the school. I mean, I know you have relationships with the school, but maybe developing that further, is that an opportunity?
I see a lot of collaborations that have happened recently with the library and the school, so I think that that's something that we can continue to work with once we get along with this plan. See where we are.
Are there other organizations or entities in the community? You mentioned kind of the business community and partnering with them on some things. Are there others?
I would just say the chamber or the school, and those are the only two that I know that really do a lot. Food pantry. Okay, food pantry.
We also have senior services, which
one?
Senior services.
Which is also within our campus. It's
right next door.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So senior working, okay, that was good.
All right, last call for opportunities. Anything else?
I have just a comment. I know this room is kind of considered a community room. a lot of libraries have a designated community spaces. A lot of times they can be partitioned off, like with the those kind of sound curtains. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just kind of looking at like the space. Mm-hmm. Probably have some potential opportunities for something like this to easily do that. I know we looked at that a few years ago for a different purpose. But that's just something to bring people in. And it may not be that well known either, but I know that can add some staffing challenges again. But it's if we're trying to be more of a community center, I think that's, you know, I've seen that in other locations.
I have too.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. All right, let's move to aspirations. And this is a little different because what I want you to think of is, like, what do you want the community to achieve, people in the community to achieve or experience? Like, how do you want them to, like, think about the library in the future? So, you know, what is it that we're trying to work towards in planning for the future of the library? Your hopes for the community, your hopes for the library. What are some of those aspirations that come to mind?
That they will want to come to the library. That's number one.
Relevancy.
Yeah. Relevancy, that we don't want to lose our relevancy with the e-books and the, you know, technology. That if we are able to provide better services that are trending within, you know, the different times, years, that we still have our relevancy. That's number one.
And perhaps just that community that we were talking about kind of in today's times, it's somewhat lacking. And so maybe perhaps this could be that space where maybe that gets revitalized a bit, or within our community.
Relationships.
It would be nice to see it grow, yet maintain what we have of that small town, where people know each other, that community.
Yes.
True. And not get where we get so big and we forget about that. Kind of what you're saying.
Yes, you know, yes. Yes, but a lot of people that are new, like, who said that? We have a lot of new families.
Yeah.
They really don't know this hidden gem. So if they knew that we were here...
Can we go back to opportunities? You just made me So years ago, we used to have a business here called Hometown Hello. And what it did is when you moved in, these ladies, this one woman ran a business, and they would come and sit down and show you... And it was... they worked with businesses and everything in the area to show you, well, hey, this is a dry cleaner, this is the pharmacy, and you got like a packet of stuff, coupons.
Yeah.
So that is defunct now, but that was awesome. Yeah. It was awesome. It's like my it was the best thing because I was not from this area. I was from the city, and I mean. It was a good opportunity.
Wasn't it called like a welcome wagon?
It was welcome wagon, and they went to Hometown
So
where I'm going with this is that maybe that's something we need to do as a library, is find out who are, you know, you can look at the paper, who's buying houses, the addresses is published.
You did that during COVID.
Oh, did but what if we do that, if we just made that a standard?
Yeah.
Hey, well, this is what we're doing at the library.
Welcome, and with the packet, with all of our services.
Yeah. So put that as an opportunity. But what I hear is that the aspiration is that when people move to Yorkville, that the first place they think they want to go is the library, right? Yeah.
Especially if they have children.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, or in general.
In general.
You know, it's a good way. It's a good way for people to get to, like,
meet
the
other
programs,
people.
To meet other people.
Yeah.
You know, join a book club, meet other people. Or,
sure.
You know, I just read today the first thing you're supposed to do when you move to Yorkville is call the water department.
Yes.
I was looking for the packet. I couldn't get a packet to download. And it said, what do I do if I'm moving in or out of Yorkville? So I clicked it, and it said to call the water. So the water department's going to know who just moved here.
So it's call the library.
Well, they do.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Right.
If our aspiration is to be relevant and to have things that people want, to respond to our community, to be the place that people want to come together, that we... kind of nurture those relationships, mm-hmm. that we're supporting the growth of the community, mm-hmm. we're seen as a vital part of the community, we're the place that, you know, if you're new to the community, this is where you go meet people to get connected. What's the result? Like, how do people feel about themselves? How do they feel about the community? How do they feel about the library?
I think the result is whatever your age or interest is, there's going to be something for you at the library that will draw you there.
Very good. Yes.
And I think also I see a lot of creation of networks. Mm-hmm. For example, like a women's network, mm-hmm. or seniors network, or women's working network, book clubs also about leadership, and it really attracts not just children but adults, and then you start bringing all this sense of community, because now I'm part of the women network, gather like every week or every month, and we bring in speakers, and things like that. So I think it just to enhance,
It goes back to the hub.
When I moved here, that was one of the things, too, was the Yorkville Women's Junior.
Yes, you're right.
That was one of the first things I was recommended. Go to the Women's, Yorkville Women's Junior Club.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I still have people I know from that, and I've been here 26 years.
Right.
And, you know, you've got to meet other women, you're kids in my class. So right. It is, you get that number.
Which, too, could bridge
opportunity for more businesses to. But this is what my thought.
Oh, and I mean, like all different age level.
Remember when you said that the chamber held an event here? So being able to have different groups host. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying about the hub. Host events, mm-hmm. or host, mm-hmm. things, mm-hmm. where our community could come and learn not just about the event, but learn about the library.
Sure.
So that collaboration is critical as well.
Collaboration.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I love that. You know, the staff said, and I feel like you've kind of said it in different words, that by being kind of that hub of the community, the result is that people have a sense of belonging. Like, they can come to the library, get what they need, be connected with other people. They feel like they have like a safe place where they're cared for.
Sure.
Yes.
But you're investing that in turn, you're more invested within your community, and makes it stronger for everyone.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. This is great feedback on our SOAR analysis. Is there anything else, strength, opportunity, aspiration, or result, that we haven't talked about so far?
Anybody else?
Good. Okay, great. I think lots of notes. Thank you for your attention. I know you have other business, so I appreciate you giving me some time here at the beginning. Look tomorrow for that survey. It should come out first thing in the morning. Check your spam. If it doesn't, sometimes SurveyMonkey can be a little funky. You'll get a reminder until you actually complete the survey. You've got a couple weeks. I think the deadline is the 26th. So if you don't have time tomorrow, that's okay. If you have questions, you have my email address. Charlene knows how to get in touch with me. But thank you for this. I'm looking forward to hearing more from you and coming to work with you at your retreat session.
Thank you so much, Amanda.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Okay, good night.
Bye-bye. Okay. Approval of our minutes. Our next item on the agenda, we can go over our minutes.
I
take a motion to approve the minutes for Board Trustee minutes for March 11, 2024. Can I get a roll call?
Second.
Yes. Hedman?
Yes.
Pasola?
Yes.
Nosuski?
Yes.
Getz?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Reifstek?
Yes.
And Schumacher?
Yes.
Do we have any correspondence, Shelby? Public comment? Yep. We have a public comment? Can I? Michael Krimsky?
First, I'd like to congratulate you on your appointment today.
Thank you.
So, tonight you agreed and promised and swore an oath before God to the U.S. and Illinois Constitution. And before you tonight, I gave you a copy of the Illinois Constitution. Maxims of the law say that swearing an oath is a call to God and a witness and is an act of religion. They also say that good faith is required when oaths are given, and the failure to do so is punishable by law. You are all trustees of the people. The Constitution is a document that contains the terms of the condition. The Constitution is the instructions of the trust. And the preamble of the Constitution sets forth the purpose of the trust. And I'd like to read you a small portion of the preamble to the Constitution, which gives you the spirit of the preamble, which gives you the spirit of the Constitution. We the people of the state of Illinois, grateful to Almighty God for the civil, political, and religious liberty which He has permitted us to enjoy, and seeking His blessing upon our endeavors, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the state of Illinois. The preamble establishes the purpose for the foundation of Illinois, and everything within the Illinois Constitution is established out of the gratitude to God so that we may seek His blessing. Article 1, Section 1 of the Illinois Constitution reads as follows. All men are by nature free and independent, have certain inherent and inalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. To secure these rights and to protect the property, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. So the purpose, obligation, and duty of this board is to protect inalienable rights of we the people. You can't do that outside of the boundaries of the U.S. and Illinois Constitution. All government of right originates with the people. As one of the trustees and servants of the people, please take your oath of office seriously, and please take the time to read and study the documents you have sworn to uphold. Thank you.
Thank you. Friends of the Library Report.
I'm Kathy Murphy. I'm glad to be here. Today is day number 2 of National Library Week.
Yes.
Yeah. So tomorrow, the Friends of the Library are treating the library staff to lunch. That's number one. Number two is our annual used book sales coming up in September, but already we're working on it. You can see a lot of boxes of books already that we've been collecting. And we have a team in place to get volunteers to sign up, even though it's several months away. So we're working on that. That is on Labor Day weekend. We've had several volunteers sign up. That's about it, except for number 3, which is when, if nobody objects, when you get around to talking about the Chiller Project. It's okay if I leave and go eat my dinner. My husband's making me. Because I'm going to eat chillers. I had to find out today what a chiller was. I didn't
know what a chiller was. Sure you can.
That's all. Does anybody have any questions for us?
No, thank you. You're welcome. Okay. Reporting my treasurer. Any staff comment? We don't have any staff. And so the report of our treasurer.
Okay, so just some notes. So Shelly and I went over the list and everything. And on page 13, there's under Shelly at the bottom of the page. There's 4 in-print promotional materials, $1,670.15 for promotional materials that the Friends
reimburse us for. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
You can also see there's a very large amount to Shelley of $11,700, but that is, it's for half of the first half is a strategic push.
Okay.
That was paid for with my credit card with no fees.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you for doing that.
We'll get points for that.
And then on page 17, there's another large one for TK Elevator. That's the other half we had last week.
Yes.
Hopefully it's working. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, bear with me. Also, Shelly was nice enough to point out on page 25. Anyway, 92% of budget.
Okay.
If you go down toward the bottom, you see professional services.
All the way down.
It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 above.
Yeah.
150. We are at 156.57. We are over. But that is because of the strategic
planning.
Yeah.
But if you go down, our cleaning is down 43. It's at 43%. So that's good.
Okay.
And our outside repair maintenance right now is at 48.2% of our expenditures. And just, this is a good number, on page 26 for March, development fees received this month were $14,000.
Wow.
So the total percent of our budget is 317 for such. So that's good. Everything's good. So with that in mind, I would like to make a motion to approve the bill list as presented with total bills paid in the amount of $28,862.41. Payroll in the amount of $56,271.58. For total disbursements of $85,134.
Second. Roll call.
Yes. Hisola?
Yes.
Nosuski?
Yes.
Getz?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Reichstadt?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
And Hedman?
Yes.
Report of our library director.
Okay, so a couple of our past programs. On Saturday, we had our tablescape program.
How'd it go?
And it went well. We made $1,300 for the program. So the library, we did not make total.
Right.
The program made $1,300. The library made half of that.
Okay.
The other half was dispersed depending on the participants, who they voted for as their favorite table. Okay. And that table received the money for their designated organization. So I believe the table that won the most was Chapel on the Green.
Chapel on the Green.
So there's already talks about doing this again next year, so they'll have a wrap-up meeting on the 25th, I believe. And what came out of this meeting, actually, from an organization that posted some marketing on it, was the Alumni Association posted, and someone reached out to the lady that posted, and he wrote a letter to the library. I'm going to read it to you guys.
Okay.
I read a Facebook post of April Morganegg's about the library fundraising, so I called April and purchased the ticket. This is Dear Yorkville Public Library.
Okay.
My memory of the Yorkville Public Library goes back 70 years.
Wow.
When our mom, Helen Olson, and six children moved to the upstairs apartment in the building on the corner of Bridge and Van Emmon Streets in Yorkville. So that's about the law office.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, the library was across Van Emmon and next to the Yorkville National Bank. That converted little white house, open only on Saturdays when volunteer librarians, was a real blessing for our family.
Wow.
I read all of the bigs. Wizard of Oz, Nancy Drew, Mysteries, Hardy Boys, and many less big books, like Sand by Will James and Native American Stories. As I grew older, my interests included, I can't even pronounce these names of books, anyway. When I entered eighth grade, I was fascinated by the logic and checked out a book on elementary logic. I learned about syllogisms. And
syllogisms.
Yeah, thank you. And fallacious arguments, and became insufferable when I countered with that argumentum ad vercum.
Little letter?
It is. So anyway, he chose a book and learned how to argue his case. And so he challenged all of his teachers. So then he moved on to poetry, and he still quotes Alexander Poe and Shakespeare. He memorized Longfellow's The Wreck of Hesperus, and the list goes on. But most importantly, my love of reading remains. Thanks for a wonderful start, Yorkville Public Library. Sincerely, Robert P. Olson. Enclosure, $1,000 check.
That's wonderful.
So, my task this week is to give him a call and see what he would like us to do with
it. You never know how the library impacts someone's
life. Just a little bit of FYI, because I got this from my goofy son who likes doing this stuff. That building is still here. They moved to Kitty Corner. Mm-hmm. And it's a salon or something now?
It's the little
one right across from law. Yes.
Okay. That's the little building of the library. Yeah. Wow. And look at us
so
today. Amazing.
To that point, though, if I can comment, but that's some of the things I think in our strategic plan that we're taking for granted, that I think we're an old farm community, and I think there are so many people that have been in the past like that, impacted by the library. Mm-hmm. And I think if we gave them the opportunities to come here and continue to experience, I think we'll find that it enriches us as much as it enriches them.
Yes, I agree.
Can I ask a question? I'm sorry. Doesn't a bus of seniors come here on a regular basis? No?
Yeah.
They do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. From Heritage Woods and Cedars.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to share with us, Shelby?
Yes. Sorry, that was part of our
okay.
Our library road trip is still going on. It will continue until April 30th. We have 21 participating libraries, so every day we get about 20 to 30 participants for that. We have our strategic plan focus groups, as Amanda had said. Scheduled for tomorrow, so we have three different sessions. Mike is doing a Getting the Dirt on Gardening, a Cold Weather Crop program on the 11th, and Storm Chasers on the 17th. We had 275 people in attendance on March 16th for our author illustrator showcase.
That's good.
We did that in conjunction with the school's Fine Arts Festival, and they were kind enough to market our program on the back of their program.
Yes, it was. I was one of those visits.
I think that helped get a lot of people in our door as well.
And they even announced it,
because
I was there.
Yeah. So a couple things good came out. I mean, excellent came out of that. There was a representative here from a publishing company in attendance who spoke with two of our authors, and now we'll be working with them.
That's awesome.
Very nice. And we did have 200 authors, illustrators that were featured in this room here for the day. We had spring break programs going on. Super busy. We had a bingo event that had 76 people in attendance, Jeanette said. Our children's director, Jeanette, was also at Bristol Bay STEM program night. She had a table set up there, and she says next year she needs at least two more people to come with her, because she said there were over 350 people at her, going through her table, and all of the tables, actually.
Wow.
So she was a little overwhelmed with it.
That's good.
But it was a good thing.
For new people to the community and the schools and things like that.
Anytime we go out and do this, we always ask, do you have a library card?
Yeah.
Sure. And we provide a QR code so they can scan it and apply for a card right there on their phone.
That's good.
The Fox River Hidden Gem Series with the Conservation Foundation is wrapping up their fourth installment on the 24th, and the topic will be navigating the Fox River. So that's been a really interesting series. I attended the last one. It was on soil, mm-hmm. and I didn't know what to expect, and it was so fascinating. He was just engaging, and I learned a lot. So this one will be on navigating the Fox River by canoe, bike, kayak.
Wow.
And I spoke with the director, and we're working on doing more next year, a series program as well. I will talk more about the RFP for the chiller, but I also did an RFP for spring cleanup and landscaping, and I don't know if any of you could see coming in tonight how beautiful the landscaping is. Mm-hmm. We just had that finished.
Yeah.
Those guys were here all week last week. They worked in the snow and the rain.
Wow.
And it looks beautiful.
Good.
Beautiful. They edged and mulched, and we haven't had mulch in
a long time.
Yeah,
it looked really nice when I pulled in.
Yeah, good. Let's see here. I think I will just talk about, Miss Jeanette.
Yes.
Also won this award here with the Yorkville Education Foundation.
Yes.
She was nominated, so was the entire Youth Services Department.
Awesome.
And she won for a Partner of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
2024 Fostering Our Future
yes.
Award. So we're so proud of her.
Yes.
And the library bought her some nice flowers and a $50 gift card. So
I think this is her second nomination.
I was going to say.
It is. She was
this
nominated.
This is her second. 2-3 years
right
ago.
Right before COVID.
COVID.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So.
Very good.
Yeah. I gave Wendy her trustee orientation and her tour.
Wendy, did you love the tour of the library?
Yes, I did. I started to find out something that I didn't know, and I've been in Yorkville for 20 years.
Fine.
Me too.
Aboard.
That's what I said. Same thing. I've been here as quite long as you have.
There's four festivals that staff is going to be involved in this summer. So,
okay.
The Town Square Beach Party. That will take place June 6th. We'll have a table there. We'll have a table at Riverfest on July 20th. National Night Out, August 6th, we'll have a table. And Hometown Days, Beecher Field.
Awesome.
That's also in conjunction with our book sale as well. So. And lastly, WGN is going to be doing a hometown takeover of Yorkville on air June 27th. They'll be coming to Yorkville to film on June 6th. Caitlin has given them a few locations that represent Yorkville. The library is on that. I don't know if we'll be part of the video, but I'm also on the short list for being interviewed as well.
Awesome. Nice.
Make sure you wear a hat that day.
Oh, goodness. And lastly, we started the process of applying for E-rate to replace our firewall and software services.
That's it.
Okay.
That was good. Okay, we don't have our city liaison. We didn't have any standing committee meetings, so we'll move on to our unfinished business, the HVAC update chiller replacement, and we'll start there.
Okay, so for the HVAC update, the only new thing that has happened since we last met was boiler number one, pump number four.
Yeah.
Did I tell you this at the last meeting? I don't recall. We were going to do a rebuild, so they opened it up and determined it was more cost effective
to
purchase a new one. So that's what we did. So we'll be seeing a bill for that. So that's the update for right now. Mm-hmm. They're going to be putting a monitor on the pump to read it going off and on, just to they are changing the frequency for how long the pump runs, mm-hmm. and then they're going to monitor that to see if that's working optimally.
Okay.
So there'll be more. The chiller replacement update I will talk about in the new business discussion.
So do you have a strategic plan update?
She reviewed everything with what I was going to talk about on the timelines.
Mm-hmm.
So you will be getting your survey tomorrow. That's the next thing for you guys to do. And then after that, the next thing will be June 1st for the board retreat.
Do we have a time for that? Do we have a time scheduled?
We don't have a time yet.
The only reason why I ask is because there's an event going on at the school, okay, for me. The sooner we know, can you email us?
Yep. Okay.
That's it for strategic plan?
Yeah.
Okay, on to new business. Discussion, approval of bid for the chiller replacement.
Okay, so in your packet on page 41, is the letter from our engineering group.
Page 41.
So we had a bid opening Tuesday, April 2nd at 11 o'clock at City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And there were 13 bids that were presented and opened. The bids were advertised in local publications and also on, I think it's Demand Star, for contractors to bid. And it was open for 10 days. So our engineer has put on the backside of this memo the tabulation of all of those bids. And he has highlighted it in red. So he broke it down into three manufacturers because each manufacturer has a little bit different hookup for electricity and plumbing. Different locations, so that's why it's get out like that.
Thank you.
The first column is for manufacturer Carrier. He's explained to me that this is a screw compressor, and the other two are scroll compressors. A screw compressor, he tells me, is a more efficient product. And so his recommendation is the lowest bid for Carrier Oak Brook Mechanical for $2,235,000. He has contacted Oak Brook Mechanical and to review the scope of the project, and he's confident that they have included everything in drawings and specifications from the bid. And this is the company that they recommend for the chiller replacement.
This is the engineering group?
Yes.
And
he was there for the bid, he was there for the walkthrough and pre-meeting, and he handled contacting him as well. With that, I've also included the bid that they submitted along with the qualification statement from the contractor and their financial statement
the listing of their principal personnel and their years of experience and their projects that they've completed, and also the bid bond.
So the second one is Trico. Is that the company we work with now? So what is the difference between the two, besides price? What is the difference in the $1,600? Is that correct?
Yes. It's so, different manufacturer.
Thank you.
For sure. But I mean, if that's the company we work with, I mean, didn't we have the problem that we had somebody else install it?
So also, the Carrier product is, I'm told, parts are more accessible, and there are more, there are more contractors that can work on that product.
So this
Carrier
is
specific.
Versus the, what the Trico
versus the Daikin.
Daikin.
Yeah, Daikin.
Which
okay.
is the manufacturer
so
that we have the
more common foreign car.
Yeah.
Do you understand
yeah.
what she's saying?
I understand it, but
yeah.
I mean, at the same time, if Trico is the one that's going to be servicing it, going, you know, like.
Oakbrook is servicing it for the first, if
okay.
we go with them, that is in the bid, that they service it for the first year.
So are we saying that Trico steps in after that first year?
It would be up to us
to make the decision.
Okay, so what's
so,
I was going to say? It's,
I mean, you don't ever have
Oakbrook is also
right.
only servicing the chiller. If it's a chilled water valve, if it's something other than the chiller, then yes, you can continue to use the company that you have. You can use them.
So you were saying that.
But that's not what we need to decide on today.
I have a question. So we know we have a bid bond. They're required to provide a performance bond. If they're awarded the project, they'll provide a performance bond.
The performance bond? That's the second one? Yes. That was our attorney's request.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this is to inform us of what the engineer, we went out for bid, this is the company that he decided that would be best for us to do this project, and this is the information that they present to the bid, and now what we're waiting for is just for him to contact Oakbrook Mechanical. He's already
contacted. No, he's already done that.
Okay, so
he's
what's
done
the
that.
Next step?
The next step is you to approve so something can be purchased.
And when do we need to do that?
Well, sooner rather than later, because if the chiller arrives any time after the fastest possible schedule, the contractor may wait until spring to install it versus in the fall.
So
it's a 30, it's a 30 week, we're 30 weeks out for a chiller plus 1 week in shipping. So if you award the bid tonight, 30 weeks out, that chiller arrives the week of Thanksgiving.
The 30 weeks is the fabrication time?
Yes.
So there's still submittals that need to be handled, procurement, that adds several weeks.
Are you asking me?
No, I'm telling you.
Okay.
Oh. I mean, you're looking at minimum 4 weeks plus the 30.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I mean, and that's usually never happens. It's usually submittals require revisions, and these things can.
So, being Thanksgiving, are we already into next spring?
No, because they can still install it in the winter.
In preparation for it?
Well, until.
Weather dependent.
It depends on weather, really.
Right.
They'd probably have to start it up once there's a load.
They probably can't start
we
it up if it's
right.
cold. But they can get it all
yeah,
installed.
They pipe
installed.
It in. And then,
it has to be a certain temperature for them before they
yeah.
can start it up to make sure it's working properly.
So, either way. Yeah, either way.
So we're making a decision to approve this tonight.
So
And I just hate to put my husband on the spot, but I just asked him on the thing, and he did say the carrier. He had nothing to do with the process, but I
do you said the carrier is better than
is a known name brand for homes for everything. It's right. A big, it's a huge company.
Rather than Daikin.
Yeah.
Okay.
And is that that's primary reason as well as cost as to why you're suggesting going with Oakbrook?
Well, they're a little
bit
better.
Well, right, but didn't that
kind of
get us in trouble before?
Before, I know.
No,
I mean, I know that.
They did. None of these companies, I don't know who installed this original chiller and who spec'd it.
No, we don't.
But we had a maintenance company.
That was maintaining all these.
You know, we had some concerns with, that was the previous maintenance company.
Gotcha.
And then I think Trico was brought in to do... to replace the other maintenance company.
So that's primarily our issue, was that
We had Trico,
and then we switched with the previous director, and then we went back to Trico.
Okay.
I just know that going forward, we don't want to have issues with the chiller.
Well, there was also years of no PM done.
Yes.
So prior to Trico being involved, nobody, it was just break fix.
Yes.
So,
gotcha.
Yes.
Okay.
For years.
Okay.
And we don't want to go back to that.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Right?
Okay.
So
Ted will be in charge of whoever we choose of overseeing the project as well on our end.
To make sure that everything and that we know what's going on. And then you're giving us updates so that keeps us, and we're not waiting for the last minute to know that something's broken and have to, you know. And so a motion to what?
I saw there were references on here. I mean, did city facilities, or did anybody follow up with references? Has anybody worked with Oakbrook Mechanical before?
Our engineering firm has worked with them quite often, is what he told me.
Okay.
Can we verify?
They are known in the HVAC industry. Yep.
Okay.
You know HVAC, do you know that?
I do believe they are a union shop. They're well known in the area. They also work in the
In the Chicago area.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's Illinois Revis High
School. Exactly.
Scott Schools. Glenside Public Library.
Yeah,
they had a pretty good project list.
Guaranteed Wakefield.
I said they had a pretty good project list. I looked them up.
You did?
Before the bids.
Okay. So do you think they're reputable in your expertise? Because they have Loyola Cancer Center, Glenside Public Library, and Montgomery Place in Chicago.
I mean, they have a performance bond, so they really complete the work.
Okay.
Sure. Okay.
Any other questions or concerns?
Not till we get to maintenance complete. Not till we get to determining or,
I think the one thing we have to make sure we follow is, whenever this 1 year period actually starts.
Right.
When
that they're owed, and then make sure that we pick up the maintenance after that.
Do we know if they do maintenance or after a year they're
She said it was in the bid.
But after a year.
Oh, after a year.
A company that if they work
long.
Yeah, we don't want to go to someone else that I would rather keep the person that we replaces and do the work.
And we would still want to go through the spec and see what exactly they're going to do in the first year. If it's 100% maintenance or... Because a lot of times it's not. I haven't read the spec.
Okay.
If it's 100% maintenance, I'm sure.
It's always warranted.
Right.
But that doesn't mean they're going to...
To do everything.
If there's anything that needs to be greased or something
that
like that.
That year.
And someone doesn't do it, the warranty's void.
So we were saying we want to guarantee that first, or
I think we still need to make sure we don't have any gaps in the service.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Shelley, once we approve and we move forward, making sure that we understand what their maintenance, what is that agreement entitles for that full year, and what happens after that 4 years? Would they continue to service with us, or will we don't want to switch to someone else? And so, if there's no other question, everyone's on board with this.
Well, shouldn't that be outlined in there? Did we not get all that detail in their bid, or?
This is the bid.
It'd be by the specs. Whatever the specs require.
Okay. So we spec'd out what the first year service would look like, or?
That I don't know. We'd have to read through that. I mean, I can find it pretty quick.
Okay, find it and then tell us what page.
But that shouldn't affect what we're talking about as far as approval.
Service and maintenance, where are you on this page? You see it? First page after. First page. After the statement of changes in stockholders' equity. Talks about the new installation, but it talks about the service and maintenance, air conditioners, heating repairs, including burners, reciprocating as well as centrifugal, chillers, air handling units, pumps, coils, and heat pumps. Repairs to all types of mechanical process, refrigeration, winter maintenance routine, emergency repairs, and reciprocating chillers are our specialty. Maintenance, this says complete programs for 100% coverage of all mechanical equipment on premises. Do you see that?
No, where are you looking at?
After that page. After the page that says Oak Brook Statement of Changes in Stockholders. After page 5.
Entitled Oak Brook Mechanical Services.
Yes. And it's the second, Service and Maintenance.
Service and Maintenance.
This is just talking about their company.
That's not it?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing binding is what's in the specs.
Okay, we don't have that. That's not in here. I'm looking at it.
Yeah, that's in the specs are in here. They're in our packet.
Inside the packet. So, do we need to see that before we make an approval?
No, I don't
know. No, okay. What we expect, it's going to be the same for all vendors. But.
Okay. So I make a motion that we approve the bid for the chiller replacement as presented.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes. Garcia.
Yes.
Millen.
Yes.
Reifstech.
Yes.
Schumacher.
Yes.
Hedman.
Yes.
Pesola.
Yes.
Milczewski.
Yes.
Gatz.
Yes.
And Forrestal.
Yes.
And any other further questions, we can present it to Shelley next meeting. Resolution. Resolution to adopt non-resident card.
So every year we have to decide if
page 43.
We're going to offer non-resident cards to our residents living outside of city limits, which we always do. And based on that, if we do vote that, then we have to decide how the charges are going to be computed. So state law says there are two ways to do it, a general mathematic formula or a tax bill method. We've always done the tax bill method because it is the most equal for all patrons. Mm-hmm. Goes by your assessed value and the current tax rate. And so I did that in-depth study last year.
You did.
So currently this year we have 75 cards issued.
Non-resident
cards. We've collected a total of $11,122. Those 75 cards represent 49 households. So my recommendation is to participate in the non-resident fee program and to adopt the tax bill non-resident.
I agree. We've always done it that way. Why do you want to change it? Unless anyone opposes, I think that we should continue. We've done it all this long time, and no need to change the formula or change the way that we calculate it. We keep it the same. Your study showed last year exactly that this is the way that it needs to be done, taxpayer right. So I make a motion that we adopt the non-resident card as presented.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes. Millen?
Yes.
Reifstack?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Hedman?
Yes.
Tarsola?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Getz?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
And Garcia?
Yes. And then just a reminder, and also to the new member, statement of economic interest, you should receive it by email.
Yes.
If you haven't received it, let Shelly know and she can resend it to you guys. Yeah. It needs to be done before May 1st. Otherwise, you get penalized. If you don't. So, no other business, meeting is adjourned.